Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Give you an overview of how the service will be going and also be able to prompt you for times that you'll be sharing this morning. So I want to ask you this, if you will go ahead and open your Bibles and look at Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. So in the past year, we started in November of 2020, and we began studying this letter to the church at Philippi, and it has been such a refreshing and encouraging study for us in so many ways. One of the realities for this study really began in Acts chapter 16, back last November. And in Acts chapter 16, that's where Paul goes and visits the city of Philippi for the first time. But the way that he got to Philippi was as a result of a divine vision. They had had plans for their missionary journey to go a different direction. And one night, Paul had this vision, and in his vision, in Acts chapter 16, it says, a man from Macedonia was standing in the vision. It says, come over here and help us. And so when Paul woke up, he concluded that the Holy Spirit was directing his team to go into Macedonia. And so Philippi became the very first city that they visited in Macedonia. And interestingly enough, there was a young woman at the river when Paul got to Philippi. It says that Paul and his team went down to a place of prayer, and typically that was beside the river. And so when he met this young woman named Lydia, she was actually a merchant from Thyatira. And as he began to share the gospel with her, he discovered that she was already a follower of God, that she had already been influenced by the Jews and had come to become a follower of Yahweh. But Paul began to explain to her the gospel, that Jesus is the Messiah of the Jews. And there's this amazing verse in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. It says, a God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. And it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. And she and her entire household became followers of Jesus at that time. And she welcomed them into her home. And this was their base of operations the entire time Paul ministered at Philippi, was in Lydia's house. And how special is that? And how powerful is that? And I like that phrase in Acts chapter 16. It says, the Lord opened her heart to hear what Paul had said. So this morning, as we move into a time of share and celebration and reflecting on what God has spoken to us and taught us through our Philippians study, my prayer is that God will open your hearts as well, that we'll learn from each other, that we'll share with boldness and with confidence, that you won't be intimidated to stand up in front of your fellow members of the body of Christ and just articulate how God has been encouraging you or convicting you or guiding you through our Philippians study. It was also in Philippi in Acts chapter 16 that they began to preach the gospel, and it says this young girl began following them everywhere they went, and it says that she had a spirit of divination in her. So there was a demon that had possessed this girl that enabled her to foretell the future, and these people had bought this girl and had placed her into servitude and were using her for their capitalization and monetization. And it says that Paul finally got annoyed and turned around and cast the demon out of her, and at that moment she lost the ability to fortune tell. And they got so mad at Paul and Silas and his team that they dragged them before the magistrates, they beat them severely, and they threw them into prison in Philippi. And it was in that prison that night that they began to sing praises to God. In the middle of this worship service, and you can imagine their bruised, bloodied backs, And they're praising the Lord for the privilege of suffering for Jesus and asking God to open doors to the Philippians' hearts. It says an earthquake struck the town of Philippi. And it shook so severely that the doors to all the cells opened, and it scared the jailer to death because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. And he was going to take his own life as a result of that. But you might remember that Paul calls out and says, "Don't do it, we're still here." And the jailer comes in, and in Acts it says that he comes. He says, "Well, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul's response to him in verse 34 is, the jailer brought them into his entire household, set a meal before them, and he rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. So just in the first few weeks in Philippi, God stirred the people of that little town, and it began to create a movement for the Lord. And this morning, we have an opportunity to share with one another about how God has impacted our hearts as well. It says this jailer rejoiced because he had come to believe in Jesus. And this morning, may we also rejoice that we have come to believe in Jesus. So let me share with you some of the messages that we've had over the course of the last few months. Then we're going to move back into a song. And practically speaking, what we'll do is that if you know that you'd like to share something or a message or a verse or a quote or something like that that's been meaningful to you through our Philippians series, while we're singing, and there'll be three distinct share times in the service. So when we stand to sing, that's your cue to go ahead and come and sit on the front rows. There's a microphone here, and there's a microphone here. And so between the songs, we'll have share times. I'll come up and I'll facilitate those times. But if you know God's laid something on your heart that you'd like to share, come up, sit on the seat during the song, or you can just stand and worship with everyone on the front. And then when everyone's seated again during the share times, you'll be ready to come right up instead of making that long walk from your seat during the share times. Does that make sense? Everybody nod at me if that makes sense. Okay, I'm seeing some nodding, so it makes sense. So Philippians is this great letter. It's full of joy. Paul does address a lot of issues in this letter, but it is a gentle reminder. It is a sweet-smelling invitation to intimacy with Jesus Christ. And it leads us, throughout the letter, it leads us to honest repentance as being essential for our deepest joy. And along the way, it looks at unity. It looks at God's mission. And it looks at the fact that we're saints, that we're holy people because of what Jesus has done for us. And then it ends up talking about surpassing peace that's possible for all who trust in Jesus Christ. And it reminds us of the beautiful simplicity of contentment in our love relationship with God. So here's some of the messages along the way. We looked at from prison to praise on November 1st of last year. Then we looked at the concept of people are more important than things, thinking rightly in relationships, a prayer for partners, advancing the gospel through our discomfort, to live as Christ, stand firm, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself, attitude, down then up, every name, every knee, every tongue, bootstraps and Christ's humility, obedience in the light of Christ's lordship, Paul and Timothy, celebrating the sent, guarding joy, gaining and loss, taken hold of by Christ, imitating Christ, confronting contending women, the path to peace, after amen, dwell and do, transcending contentment, giving for gain, and finally last week, God's got people. Let me pray for us, and I'll pray over our service, where then we'll stand and we'll worship and we'll move into our first share time. And again, if you feel like God's put something on your heart to share, we want to invite you during this first song or the songs after to come and just sit in the front row and be ready to share. Y'all can be seated. I'm so thankful that the worship team and are so talented, and that Ezra leaves my mic off while I'm up here singing. Thank you, Ezra. That is a ministry to me for sure. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is one of the highlights of Philippians. I think it's this beautiful passage. And in Philippians 1, it says this: I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. How amazing is it that God has promised that what he began in us, he's going to finish. And there's going to be days that you don't feel like God's working in your life at all, but you can have great confidence in the authority of God's word that promises you that when he begins a good work in you, he will finish it. Daryl preached about that message, and Daryl mentioned when he preached that God is a completer. And he matched that with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, where it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And then later in Philippians, in chapter 2, verse 13, Paul finishes this thought or adds to this thought. He says, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good promise. God's always at work in you. If you belong to Jesus Christ, God's always at work in you. He loves you, and he wants to bring you to maturity and to completion. I see a few people on the front rows, and so I want to invite you, if you come now, and just grab that mic off the stand. And we'll do it one at a time, obviously, but there's a mic here, and there's a mic here. They should be on, and we'll move into our share time now. Thank you, Megan.
Is this on? Okay. When Jeff asked me to speak yesterday, he texted, and I did what every normal, mature, 41-year-old woman would do, and I completely ignored it. Especially when he said, oh, can you go first? And then when I avoided him this morning, he found me in the corner sitting in a chair, and I told him I would let the Spirit lead me. Well, you know, when the Spirit gets involved, he doesn't let you sit down. So here I am. Before I read the verses I wanted to talk about, Shane actually encouraged me to say this. Jeff, I think in the 14 years I've been at North Star, this is the best sermon series we've ever had. You rocked it. And thank you for your humbleness. Thank you for your bravery, for stepping out, saying some things you knew might get a little convicted with those of us that were sitting down. And I just pray God's blessings over you for doing that. So this series meant a lot to us in our family. Okay. Therefore, this is 3:15. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I've often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomachs. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. So then, my dearly loved, longed, for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I, over the past year, have been very burdened about where the direction of the church in general, world church, not just North Star, and how we are getting our theology from memes and Instagram posts and celebrity Christians, and we aren't going directly here to get that information. And this section in Philippians really convicted me about, do I have the right information? Am I getting it from here? Or am I being influenced by what's going on in the world around me? And it's been a crazy year. We can all say that. But just in terms of being a mom and a teacher and what I'm passing on, and am I getting the right information for myself from people that are in authority over me, who are older than me or wiser than me? I just encourage all of us to stand firm in this and not be caught up in what the world is telling us is right and when it's not. And Philippians was a good wake-up call for that.
Thank you, Megan.
Morning, everybody. My name is Josh Drake. So this past, I don't know how long we've been going through Philippians, in our community group, as Jeff kind of read some verses out of Acts, in our community group, we were studying Acts. So it was like spending Sundays seeing, you know, reading through Philippians, and then during the week kind of reading through the prequels of what we were studying on Sundays. And I think what, for me, with Philippians, you see kind of the ultimate affection that grows between Paul and this church in Philippi. And then reading through Acts and how they struggled to formulate the early church and how to maintain community and unity with these diverse people that weren't Jews. And so how does that look like? You know, this past year has been strange, is an understatement. But we've all kind of wrestled with things as a church that we've not wrestled with in this country for generations upon generations. And so a lot of things I think we've intrinsically kind of started to take for granted. And so the past year of having to be forced to be creative in how we meet together and how we maintain our unity and our community together, I think at least for me and my family, having been recently moved here within the last year and a half, has just, our affection for the church has grown a lot. Because we see so much of what it does for our own personal discipleship and then ours as a family. There's a quote by a favorite writer of mine, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who says the Christ in my brother is bigger than the Christ in me. And that's, I think, it's been so true during this period of how much the church has poured into our lives through our community groups, through Sundays, of just being able, the last couple months, being able to actually sit together, right, as opposed to through a Zoom. And just to have that opportunity again has been such a wonderful blessing. So as a word of encouragement, you know, if you are a visitor or new or have not really participated in the body of Christ, I would encourage you to do so. And that's it.
Wow, this is loud. Hello. So this is one of my favorite passages from Philippians, and it's, yeah, I think it was like a while ago that they talked about this, but something that stuck out to me was Philippians 1:21 is one of my favorite verses, and I try to like live by it. And something that Pastor Jeff said was I can't remember exactly what he said. It was like only a mature Christian could like actually, I don't know, I'm probably saying this wrong, but like actually like say it. And I was just like, because, I'll just read it, I guess. But that kind of, I guess, convicted me that, yeah, I don't know. I'll just read it. It's all boldness. Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Living is Christ and dying is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your advancement and joy in the faith, so that because of me, your confidence will grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. That's it.
I really appreciate everyone sharing. We're going to move back into a time of worship. It's amazing kind of some of the themes that were highlighted during this share time that obviously wasn't planned, but Josh in particular mentioned Paul's great affection for this little church at Philippi. And it's really precious getting to see Paul the Apostle's deep, genuine love for these people. He wrote in verse 4 of chapter 1, "Always praying with joy for you in all my prayers because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." He wrote in verse 7 of chapter 1, "I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in the gospel." Then in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "God is my witness how I miss deeply all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Verse 19 of chapter 1, he says, "Thank you for your prayers and your help from the Spirit of Jesus." And it was that particular sermon that led us to encourage you to ask three people to pray for you and to commit to pray for three people for 3 months. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he calls the Philippians, "My dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and my crown." You may be seated. I'm going to invite some special guests in to help us with this next share time. So over the weekend, I got an email from Ronnie Bluey, and Ronnie's been working with some of our kids and the other kids' workers who've been working with them. And they have been working on last month one of their memory verses they put to a song, and it just so happens that it was Philippians 1:6. And so they said, "Can we come in and sing this song?" And I don't know if the kids were really excited about coming in and singing the song in front of all of you, but they are graciously going to bless us this morning, sharing with us a little bit about what they've learned back in our children's ministry over the past few months.
Good morning. This is very ad lib. They came in this morning and we said, "Hey, the scripture memory verse is Philippians 1:6. What do you think about going in front of your parents and all those strangers and singing it?" And they said, "We're game." And then we had other ones to say, "No way." So here we are. We are your 4th through 6th graders, and we're going to also tell you about Philippians 1:6.
"Hello, fellow friends. We are going to sing Philippians 1:6.
Do you understand anything, Xander?
Hola!
Don't you love it? Okay, Philippians 1:6.
Philippians 1:6.
Being confident of this.
That
he who began
a good work in me
will carry it on
to completion
until the day
of Christ Jesus.
Philippians 1:6.
Yeah!
Thank you.
I don't know if we're going to be able to top that at all. That's amazing. I so appreciate our volunteers who serve with our kids' ministry so faithfully. And if you get a little bit inspired this morning and say, "Man, I would love to be a part of something that energizing. I need that in my life," then see Julie. She would love to talk to you about serving in our children's ministry. Caitlin, come on up.
Good morning. That's a hard act to follow.
I think that I hope I can do justice to all that the Lord has done in my life through this sermon series and through this current season. If there was one sermon that, only one sermon that could have been preached, it would have been the one on January 10th. I have all these colorful notes that I go back to over and over and over again, but the words from those notes that I cling to are, to live is Christ. So it hit right around New Year's resolutions and the start of 2021, and I think we were all like crossing fingers that 21 was going to be better than 20 and all those things. And typically, I don't set a resolution, but I pick a word. And that word is the thing that I go back to, and it's the thing I cling to, and it's been things like focus or determination. But this year, I picked those four. To live is Christ. And I had no idea just how real that was going to be. I ended up having an opportunity to leave a job that probably looked really good to a lot of people, that was really shiny by earthly standards, and I opted to leave and go work full-time for a ministry based in the Dominican Republic that rescues girls from the worst of circumstances. And I've had people say to me, oh my gosh, you're so brave, and oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. But to me, it's like, to live is Christ. How could I not do that? How could I not say yes when he said, are you willing? And I said, yes, send me. And what I can say is the sweetness of the walk that I have right now with Jesus is unbelievable. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean that this morning I wasn't frustrated with my kids, because maybe I was. And it doesn't mean that there aren't days that I feel, you know, discouraged or anxious or worried. But it does mean that when I feel that way, I come back to the redemptive truth that to live is Christ. So it's kind of fitting that it's the 4th of July and the word of freedom is ringing in all of our ears, because that is what I have found. I have found the ultimate freedom. And through this work in the ministry that I'm in, I'm watching our girls walk in freedom. And that is only a freedom that comes through Jesus. A love relationship with Jesus changes everything. Top to bottom, every corner of your life, every hurt, everything that you felt was too far gone, he changes everything. And I hope that if you haven't listened to that sermon from the 10th, you'll go back and listen and consider that if also for you, to live as Christ could be your mantra and the words you cling to as you continue forward. Thank you.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dave Bluey. I'm the father of Erin Peterson. I'm at the point in my life where she used to introduce herself as the daughter of Dave Bluey. So that speaks in and of itself. I'm also the husband of the lady that just left, Ronnie. So anyway, but a lot of people don't know me because I've kind of been in the background and I still want to stay there. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit in my own life was back in the 70s, I was a student leader at the university that I was at. I was, you know, head of the student government. I was on the Pitt News. I went to the University of Pittsburgh and all this stuff. And I was this, quote, campus leader, but I also was an agnostic, almost atheist. And I headed the legal awareness committee. We got people off a drug bus. We would send girls across the border of Pennsylvania into New York to get abortions. And I was the instigator of all that crap, and it's literally crap. But I want to encourage people, is at that point in time in the 70s, mid to late 70s, God apprehended me out of that darkness, out of that depravity, out of that stuff, along with hundreds, if not millions of other people, through a move of his spirit. And we thought that Jesus was coming back. I didn't go to med school because of that and all that type of stuff. But what I've seen, including with me, because I've tried corporate America, was very successful with Pfizer, actually. It's a drug company. I'm sure everybody knows about it because of the vaccine. And then I tried politics. And then I tried a lot of other things. And now I'm even in academics. And, you know, one of the things is now towards the last, and this is my last job, I'm going to retire at some point in time, but I have the opportunity to work with students, and I also have the opportunity to come to a church that draws students to it. And I think one of the things that I think has been missing a lot is seeking and preaching truth, no matter what the cost, no matter what the outcome, no matter whether certain people were turned off or not. And we are in an academic community, and I want to applaud you for speaking the truth, whether it's how the world was created in terms of God doing it. So here we, you know, be gone evolution and all that kind of stuff. The same thing with, you know, yes, he created male and female. Yes, marriage is between a husband and a wife. And those things are really the truth. And in this world today, young people and old people need to hear that. Families need to come together and relate to other families. Students need to relate to other students. I need to relate to older people. And thank God we have a Grand Connect. Yes, there are elderly people in this church. Yes, there are. I'm one of them. And you know what? We are getting so close in that group because we know we need it. And we all need it. And you know, one of the things, I was against a part of this church only because I've been through a lot of churches. I've been through a lot of stuff. But they focus on buildings when they have a building program, and they lose the vision of what God ultimately wants to do. This is just a scaffolding. And I believe Jeff, and I believe the leadership, and I believe even the people here know what it's all about. It's not about the building. It's about the city of God, the New Jerusalem, the city on the hill, the community of God's people. You say, be the church, not just go to church. I've seen that here, and I think it's going to increase. And I see the vision of God is basically wanting to create a people that draws people out of the mess of the world. We're not going to imitate the world. It's a mess. Everybody think it's a mess? I do. I mean, I think it's a bigger mess than the 70s, and that was a mess in and of itself. But he wants to apprehend people, and he's going to apprehend them because they want to relate. They want the truth. They want the life in the kingdom of God. And I just want to applaud Jeff because I believe that, and we haven't talked before this, but I believe that he has that vision for community. He has that vision for us being living stones. He has that vision for increased transparency and vulnerability amongst the people of God so that we get our act together and we imitate, like in Philippians, Christ and his humility, because that's where it's at, guys. I'll tell you what, you know, corporate America, politics, definitely, there's so many things that I've experienced, and I've seen people. I worked for the president of our company, and his life was so empty directly with him. And, you know, I'm able to even bring that to kids saying, keep yourself humble, keep yourself don't put your eyes just on money and upward mobility, because life is much more important than that. Now, we have eternal life, and we have the life through Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to share that because, I you know, this building is great, but what you're building here and what you're building as a witness to those students over there is just amazing. So I just wanted to express that. Thank you.
You may be seated. I want to conclude this last share time with some folks who aren't here. We sent an email out to our membership this week and said, if you have a video or a few quotes that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear those. And so Nolan Schmidt sent in an email, and that should pop up on the screen behind me, but I literally just put in the text from what he sent. He said, here you go, some saved notes. And so when knowledge is devoid of truth, it is useless. Humility is the great prize of the grateful mind. When you give, you gain. Plan, but keep hold of them lightly. When God changes plans, it's greater joy for the servant and greater honor for God. And then God's got people. And then Carly Minnick sent us in a video that she shared some of her conclusions from the series of Philippians, and we'll see her video now.
Has been meaningful to us. For me, it really goes back to the beginning, and it's been an overall theme of freedom. And what better day to talk about freedom than on the 4th of July? Our freedom in Christ has been at the forefront of my mind, and that's been a source of comfort and clarity since we began Philippians. I think it was Matt Simpson who gave the message on Philippians in verses 12 and 13, talking about the advancement of the gospel. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So Paul was in literal chains, but he felt like he was free because he was free in Christ. Sometimes we feel like we're in figurative chains like Paul, whether it be an illness or another circumstance that we feel like it's holding us captive. I've always talked about being able to feel peace no matter what hardship I'm going through when my heart and my mind are focused on God and I don't feel trapped in a circumstance. But to think of why I feel that way in terms of it being because I feel free has been a different perspective. The extended version of Amazing Grace, where the part that was added that says, "My chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me." I always thought about that song in terms of freedom from our sins, but to think about it in terms of freedom from circumstances puts it in a new perspective. I've always known I'm free in Christ, but this year the word freedom took on a whole new meaning with our world and our country and the state of chaos that it has been in. There's been a theme in our country of people who've been saying that their freedoms were taken away from them because of restrictions that were put on them or because they could do certain things. They'd say, "We live in a country that's free, so I'm free to do whatever I want." But as Christians, why are we looking for freedom from government or restrictions? We're already free. We're free in Christ. I've honestly just been shocked at the way freedom has been looked at recently in our world, and the way that the devil has used it to turn people against each other. The amount of hurt that the word freedom, or the idea of what freedoms we're entitled to, has caused in relationships and churches recently breaks my heart, and I think it breaks God's heart too. I think it's really shed a light on a need for growth and maturity in Christ. I've just been praying that people recognize that freedom is in Christ, not their circumstances or their culture, or whether they've been able to do certain things, because they're already free. Paul was imprisoned, and some people felt like they've been imprisoned in the restrictions that were placed on them. So, did they use that imprisonment like Paul did for Christ? When we look back over the past year and a half, did we use what happened to us to advance the gospel? It has been so encouraging to watch fellow Christians who, like Paul, were not motivated to get out of their circumstance or wait for things to get better in order for them to magnify Christ. I've been blessed to be surrounded by some of those people in my own family and friends. We've talked about how we've been able to be content despite the circumstances our world had placed us in, and also the circumstances we've been placed in personally, which some of them are pretty rough. And that type of contentment really only came from our freedom in Christ. So today, yes, I celebrate the freedom to worship God in a country that's free, but more importantly, I celebrate my freedom in Him that has nothing to do with what country I live in or how comfortable the world makes me. Christ's sacrifice means not only freedom from my own sins, but freedom from the world's sinfulness as well.
We're going to move into our last time of worship, and during this time of worship, there'll be people that come forward to receive our offering like they do every week. And today, of all days, it's an opportunity for us to reflect. I'm going to ask Brian Lindemood if you would come and just pray over our service and also pray for our offering. So grateful for Brian for his service. He is more often seen wearing a bright orange vest out in the parking lot. He has worked miracles getting you guys to park in amazingly creative places during these times of tightness out there. So, Brian, thank you for being a part of our service, and thank you for being with us.
Happy to. I look good in chartreuse, don't you think? And I'm so grateful you didn't call me up here after we did the blessing. That song always tears me up, and you guys killed it this morning. I mean, absolutely killed it. So 245 years ago, a bunch of like-minded people came together under a common process with a common goal in mind. And through prayer and perseverance, a new system of government, a new way of life, and a new nation were born. That came at great cost. As that nation has grown in power and influence, the cost of maintaining and preserving that vision has grown. Please join me in a moment of prayer as we give thanks for the protectors of our nation and the opportunity to be here today. Father, descend on this place. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your vision. Fill us with the confidence of our founding fathers that we can go forward from this place and be your servants, not just representing a building, but representing the eternity you give us. We ask that you watch over those who are deployed in harm's way. Bring them back safely to us. Watch over the families who patiently await their safe return. Father, encourage and empower with wisdom and that same patience and perseverance our founding fathers employed for the leaders of our nation as they make the difficult decisions that will take us to the next level of power and influence. We ask that you watch over the protectors of our peace here at home, our law enforcement professionals, our first responders. They are the front line of America's freedom, and they are the front line of America's defense. Shield them with your armor. Reinstill in them the confidence of a grateful nation. And mostly, Father, as we walk away from this place in a time of great division and uncertainty, fill us with hope and be the guiding light that keeps us on a path that helps us remain one nation under God. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.